Before we get started on the Bengals Beat podcast, I wanted to let you know that we are now brought to you by 50 West Brewery. They have award-winning beers coupled with a bike shop, canoe and kayak livery, volleyball leagues, running groups, and a killer food menu. At 50 West, they pride themselves on adding value to people's lives through beer. Is there a better way to add value to people's lives than through beer? Whether you're looking to take a float down the river and end with a beer or throw back a couple and play some volleyball, 50 West is unlike any other brewery you've ever seen. Check out their website at 50westbrew.com. That's F-I-F-T-Y, westbrew.com for more information. 50 West, where every beer's a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Diener Jr. invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome into the latest edition of the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat podcast, presented by 50 West Brewing Company. Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ozarski, your Bengals beat writers for Cincinnati.com and the Cincinnati Inquirer. We are back from Jacksonville, which lived up to its oh-so-jaggy reputation as a city and a venue. And then the Bengals played down to that venue.
They did.
They had the Jacksonville of performances.
Oh, yeah. It was a meltdown in so many senses of the word.
Yeah.
You know, all three phases, your star wide receiver, you know, it's just, look, I didn't think they were going to win. I almost hit the score on the head, but I didn't think it would look like that.
No. You certainly don't think it will look like your star wide receiver losing his mind and getting into a fight like he's Andre Johnson versus Courtland Finnegan and getting kicked out right before halftime and players yelling about needing to play with more passion after the game and an offense looking more inept than it has all year. And that's saying something.
Yeah.
I mean,
all the progress.
They ran 35 plays in the game, if you don't count the two kneel downs. Because, again, for the second time this year, they took the victory formation in defeat.
Yeah.
35
plays.
That is tied for the fourth fewest in a game in the NFL in the last 10 years.
Yeah, that's...
it's fairly unbelievable. We have a lot to get to today. So we are going to get to all of that. We're going to get to AJ Green, and we're recording this before any punishment has been doled out. We're expecting that to come a little later today, so you probably already know what it is as you're listening to this. I think we're anticipating a game suspension.
Yeah, at the least.
I think I'd be surprised if it was anything but that. You could maybe see a little more, but I think it'll be one game for... you know, no priors.
Right.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll get into that. We'll get into why that happened. We are going to talk about the big picture of this season, which took a very clear step in one direction on Sunday. We'll talk about the passion stuff.
Yeah.
Guys not playing, getting called out for not caring enough. We'll award our Jolly Plumbing Jack of All Trades Player of the Week. We'll go through the three contestants there. And power rankings. We have kind of an addendum, a last second audible on power rankings this week, because we had these conversations as we left the stadium last night. And at the end of it, they were so interesting that it was sort of brought up, well, maybe we should do those as our power rankings this week. So we are doing power ranking top three, bottom three. Bengals we would have thought would have gotten kicked out of a game for fighting before the season started.
Yeah.
You could probably guess our number one, but I think where the conversations end up going, I think people will like getting into some of the personality stuff there. So we're going to do that for power rankings, of course, happy and mad and all of that. We'll get into it. Okay. So I think the takeaway from this, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, is we have left the door open throughout these first seven games before this road trip.
Yeah.
Saying, look, the opportunity is still out there. Does it look like they're going to be a team that's going to be able to pull it off? I don't think so. But the opportunity is still there. It's still not crazy to think they could go out, get some momentum, win some road games, beat some very beatable teams in the bloated middle of the AFC, and get back in this thing. Get to 500, change the outlook. What happened Sunday really felt like the beginning of the end was witnessed.
Right.
You probably thought you already knew it.
Yeah.
But it was 100% solidified. This was what I thought we could see, that this is the beginning of the spiral. It just felt like it. The way it went down, the meltdown type stuff, now 3-5, losing another AFC game against a team that you need to beat to get there, and look, being non-competitive doing it.
Right.
Feels like the beginning of the end. I just don't know how you fix it. I don't know how you go from that to anything worth talking about in 2017.
Yeah, the receiver, the star wide receiver, you know, taking himself out of a game and possibly at least one more, it's inexcusable.
Yeah.
You know, so the only guy who can get open, a 13-7 at that point, the game could have been won. So there's that.
Yeah.
And then there's the passion and fire thing. You know, we'll hear from Adam Jones and Brandon LaFell here in a little bit. But Brandon LaFell says, you know, I keep looking up and it's 3rd and 10, 3rd and 8. Look, I think you can get some fire and passion when you hit on a couple big plays and you sack the quarterback and you win a game. I think the real issue is what LaFell says, it's 3rd and 10 all the time. It's what Andy Dalton, AJ Green said last week. Quarterback getting hit all the time. They can't run the ball. You can't
run
fix that.
The ball.
So unless suddenly, you know, six new offensive linemen are, you know, getting all fired and passionate and grindy and angry and whatever you want to call it, gritty.
Yeah.
I mean,
line. It all comes back to the same thing as we've said since March, whatever.
Yeah.
Is if you can't go out, look, they played the Colts, who were ranked 26th in yards per carry allowed, and the Jags, who were dead last in the league in yards per carry allowed. Yesterday, against that 32nd ranked rush defense, they rushed 17 times for 29 yards.
Oh.
And they were giving the running backs against the Colts rush 17 times for 34 yards. I don't know what to tell a team against the two worst rushing defenses in football that can't rush for 2 yards per carry.
Right.
I don't know what we're supposed to say about that.
Right.
Other than you ain't going to run against anybody if you can't run against those guys. When you have to have it. When you had to desperately stay out of 3rd and 10 against the Jaguars. They just needed to get something going in the running game.
Yeah.
And they are not capable. They are not capable.
No. Jeremy Hill's fault, though.
Yeah, right. What was the snaps that normally go to Jeremy Hill, who was inactive, reportedly due to an injury? We haven't really gotten the full details on that yet, but what was it? What was his?
Joe Mixon, two carries for 3 yards opening series.
Yep.
Yeah.
Difference maker.
I think Gio maybe was in third quarter.
Geo started the third quarter.
Or maybe make, I mean, they got a first down or two on that drive before the third and five holding penalty knocked them.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Sound familiar.
Went from third and five to third and 15, and they didn't convert.
I just, it all comes back to that. I mean, if you not only can't run the ball, but are so inept that you're that you can't even have the hope of running the ball.
Yeah, and then it turned into Pittsburgh. I mean, Andy was only sacked twice.
Right, but he was running for his life.
Running
a lot.
For his life. And look, he had two. The deep ball's a low percentage throw, but unfortunately for the Bengals, when he only has two to throw, and he has time to do them, he's got to hit them. He's got to hit AJ Green for that touchdown in the first quarter, and he's got to hit Josh Malone in the third. Both guys are open. But, you know, he is what Andy is who he is, and he's not a guy that's going to be perfect on those.
Yeah.
You got to let him throw six.
And hit two.
You can't have him be like, oh, my God, we get two, and he's got him. I mean, it's just what it is.
Because they're only open twice a game,
right,
if they're not 18. And then when 18's gone, think about the weapons that they were playing without for the second half on Sunday. No A.J. Green, no John Ross, no Tyler Eifert, no Jeremy Hill.
No Tyler Boyd.
No Tyler Boyd. Who do they have? Who is this? Tyler Croft is the only player. Tyler Croft, who we wondered if he knew how to run routes a couple weeks ago, is the only player producing much of anything, right, not wearing 18. And, you know, occasionally they can get Mixon into some space.
Right.
If they draw something up for him.
Team leading receiver, three catches.
Oh. When you're only running 35 plays, then it really matters anyway. But the bottom line is this is unfixable.
No.
This is not a team that is injury riddled, despite all that I said there about guys missing. That's not all injury.
Right.
Some of it is, but they're not injury riddled.
Right.
I mean, they're actually doing okay on the injury front compared to most teams.
And we're not even getting into what happened defensively.
Right.
You know. But no, you're right. I mean, you're missing, you know, whatever's going on with John Ross is you know, this hard line Marvin has been taking with him these last couple weeks. You know, it's been frustrating for the fan base for sure. And that really reared its head, you know, Sunday when your star receiver gets himself kicked out of the game. And now you're left with Brandon LaFell, Josh Malone, Cody Core, who I don't recall Cody Core even seeing the field because they're running two tight end sets because the O-line can't block.
Mm-hmm. They're just trying to.
And they still can't run with the two tight end sets.
Maybe that could help them run the ball, and it can't.
So I don't know, you know, coming out of the bye, that's a weird thing, Paul. Since the first half against Pittsburgh, this offense is just taking a huge dump. I don't know. I mean, like,
that's really the only way to put it. It really is. It's just scattered pieces.
They ran the ball and they threw the ball against the Steelers in the first half, scored two touchdowns. What's happened since?
Yeah.
Can't run, can't protect, can't throw. They're chipping. They're running two tight end sets out there to try and do whatever. I don't know what they can do in you know, essentially 1 day's worth of practice, 2 days worth of practice.
Yeah.
You
can't. That's just it. People are like, well, how do you fix this team? How do you
off season? Yeah,
off season. It needs whatever. It needs free agents. It needs whatever's going to happen with the coaches. It needs a lot.
Yeah.
And that's where it's at. And so now you're left with a second half of the season. Any hope has to include winning the next two.
And a defense not doing what it did against Jacksonville. This unit, for the second straight year, Paul has just let the team down.
Yeah.
In terms of I mean, they won the turnover margin.
They'll point to the turnover margin, and they'll point to only allowing 16 points.
Right.
But you cannot allow Blake Bortles
right.
to tear you up.
That's what they wanted.
Converting 9 of the first 10 third downs.
Yes.
And they weren't all third and shorts.
No. There was an 8 in there, a 12.
There was, and they weren't hard to convert. They were a lot of times easy. Guys running into wide open spaces. You know, Drake Kirkpatrick after the game was talking about the same, you know, rub type routes, killing them over and over again. Shouldn't they have an answer to that? Didn't that happen on opening day for a touchdown?
Right.
Shouldn't there be an answer to that by now?
Yeah.
That shouldn't be taking anybody by surprise. People are running those against them.
Yeah.
You know, this type of stuff you were seeing out. It's
and
it's where they are. Their defense is not good enough to carry this lackluster offense.
No, that's, no they, sacks.
They need them to be.
No Blake sacks. Bortles threw 27 times for almost 300 yard or 200 yards in the first half. No sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, it was a lot of like dump off screens and, you know, but he had plenty of time. There were only a couple times he
should have had way more because they missed a couple wide open free runners.
And the second week in a row of Vontaze Burfict in the middle of the field has not paid off. I mean, PFF sent out that the playmaking highly paid middle linebacker, 23 out of 26 linebackers in tackling efficiency, which means he missed a tackle for every three that he made.
There were some that he looked. Mercedes Lewis juked him at one point.
Yeah.
Just in open space. I don't know if they need to move him back to the outside or what, but it hasn't gone very well.
No,
What do you say? I want to get into bringing some of the players in that we talked to. Let's start with Adam Jones, who went on a rant about players not playing with enough passion. We don't have professional censors here, so mind you that Adam is a free speaker. Here's Adam Jones after the game, essentially calling out his teammates.
Obviously, you know, to try to neutralize pass rush a little bit, they went screen, boots.
Neutralize the pass rush?
Yeah. I mean, they wanted to get Blake out of the pocket a little bit and throw short, crossing patterns, things. I mean, they executed well. I mean, kind of what were you seeing out there that?
I think we didn't execute as good as we could have. You know, I ain't taking no shots at nobody, but it's a lot of stuff that we could have did better, you know. Going from sideline to sideline. So, you know, that's all I can say. But just got to keep working hard, man. I'm lost for words because, I don't know, I'm so used to, you know, I know we ain't going to win every game. But at a certain point, it's a reality check with guys in the locker room. And do you really want to win? And that's my question to a lot of some of these guys. How much do you want to win? And I ain't saying everybody going to make every play. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm talking about heart and playing with a passion. And at this point, we ain't playing with no fucking passion. And it is what it is. You know, they'll sugarcoat it to y'all however they want to sugarcoat it. But guys got to realize, man, we playing for fucking livelihood, you know. And at the end of the day, when things go bad, they'll find somebody else to do it. So. I'm just trying to stay positive and do my part and just keep working, man. That's all I can do.
Adam, you think that was reflective of how successful they were in the third down, that you guys didn't stand up enough to them?
What?
They were very successful on third down, which is critical.
Yeah, we hurt ourselves. We had penalties, tip ball, miss here, this, that, and this. Those guys, they came out and played with passion, period, point blank. And, I don't know. You tell me. You watch the game, right? You're a reporter?
Yeah.
Did we play with passion?
No.
All right. In no discussion.
Adam, you've never seen A.J. Green react like that, obviously.
Well, first of all, the shit that the kid did to A.J. was some weak-ass shit. Personally, I ain't going to get into all that. But, you know, when things – I don't know. We'll see what happens. Everybody know I'm all for A.J. I take A.J.'s side. But some shit you need to keep on the field. Some shit you don't bring on the field. Like, regardless of what it is. And I ain't gonna get in verbatim what he said to AJ or how everything happened. But he'll get what he asked for.
he was doing a lot of talking to him, saying some inappropriate things.
Yeah. It all come around. It always come around.
You know, I right after that, you were in there, and I went over and was talking to Drake or Patrick, almost right near him.
Yeah.
And Dre and Adam are two peas in a pod. Dre was very much more serious, much more subdued, and when asked a bit, when, you know, we were asking him about the stuff Adam was saying, he didn't want to elaborate. He just said, "I don't know. It's true. All that matters is it's true. This isn't Adam, because the thing can be Adam could just be spouting off,
right?
Because he's frustrated. He says things. It sounded like this is the feeling of at the very least a click." Inside of the locker room, if not more.
Yeah, just real quick, so people can understand how this just visually played out. So Adam, as he started that, sort of straightened up, and you might be able to hear it a little bit in that audio where he raised his voice on purpose.
Yeah.
All of the DBs were behind him, and the defensive line was in front of him. Now, not every player was there. You guys were showering and whatever, but and the linebackers were sort of around the corner. So, just so people know, so Dre definitely heard.
Yeah,
I mean, what Adam had said.
Yeah,
and anyone else who was within earshot definitely did.
It was a message to the team with witnesses.
Yes,
I think is how you could put that.
Right,
and so. I mean, what do we make of that? Does that play into the, you know, the Pittsburgh columnist contention of guys laughing in the locker room? You know, bringing that whole element out of guys not caring enough.
Yeah.
Which is what Adam's saying. I assume right? That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
And so perhaps that's validate. Now, Dre specifically said that was all a lie, that Pittsburgh column stuff was a lie. He said that again on Sunday, pointing out that that's not what this is a reference to.
Right.
But it does sort of validate that a little bit, that the contention here, at least amongst this group and amongst this player, who is, like it or not, part of a leadership portion of this team. I know most don't like that. But, you know, what is that saying? I mean, that's saying that guys don't care enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, you know, and it's just not defensively either. So went around the corner to Brandon LaFell and asked him basically the question, is it a matter of want to? And Brandon echoed those same sentiments.
Brandon, I mean, aside from the two kneel downs, I think it was 35 snaps. I mean, that's hard to... Unless they're big play touchdowns, it's kind of hard to score points that way.
It's definitely kind of hard to score when you can't sustain drives, and we didn't sustain drives tonight. You know, it was three and out, four and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. That was horrible. You can't get in no kind of rhythm as an offense. You're out there going three and out, and when we're losing on first downs, every time you looked up, it's third and plus 10, and we can't beat a defense like this playing the way we did on first and second down.
Is there, you know, obviously that was a heck of a situation at the end of the first half. How does, you know, and that is, it's AJ not being available for the second half. What was the thoughts there in the half and then coming out to try to deal with all that?
Thoughts in the half, so we got to step up and make plays, especially me. I just took it upon myself. I'm going to step up every time a pass play is called. I'm picking the ball coming to me. And I don't know how everybody else is standing around here, but I just put it on myself to go out there and make all the plays I can so it can help our team win. But obviously, we didn't, and lost the game.
How what was the reaction in here at halftime? I mean, to see AJ have that happen to him, what were you guys told? How did you feel about that?
I felt pissed off like anybody else to see our leader get treated like he treated, and the referees ain't step in early and calm the situation down. But I just told everybody, man, you got to drop your nuts. You got to play. Ain't no looking to AJ to make a play. He ain't on the field right now. Stop looking around waiting for somebody to make a play. You go make a play. You go dominate the man across from you, and we didn't do that.
Is that part of it a little bit? I mean, Adam was just saying, he's like, we need to find some want to here.
We definitely do. You just need to you stand up and be a man and stop letting the guy across from you dominate you. Point blank sense. Point blank, that's it.
We're not reading between the lines to point out who, like we were saying, who that seems directed at.
Right.
Sounds like a shot at the O-line.
Yeah, that's me.
The finger pointing has begun, right?
Yep.
And that's what happens. When you have days like that, when you have things like that, you're with your receiver, with all the chippiness, with being inept at certain things,
yeah,
the fingers come out and they get pointed. And it's happening. And that's, and I think that's part of the big picture discussion that we're having here about this looking like the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
This is what happens when it spirals.
Yeah.
Finger pointing, general bad play.
Right.
And no one knowing how to fix anything.
Right.
You know, this isn't because a quarterback is hurt and is coming back.
Right.
This isn't because a couple of stars have been out. This is because they're not good enough.
Yeah, I, you know, and that's winning masks a lot of this, you know, because honestly, Paul, if they simple things, Andy keeps the ball in bounds, AJ runs it for a touchdown. Sean Williams has an interception. Somebody on special teams does their job. They win this game, even right, looking as bad as they did, because honestly, those three plays turn the game.
Yeah.
And you only add 70 yards of offense.
Right.
So it's not like it would have been great. So, but it would have masked all of this. It would have been the ugly, gritty win, and we're going back to that Buffalo conversation.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this team is like the sixth seed.
Right.
And we're talking about how they can go to Tennessee, which just squeaked by a crappy Ravens team, and it's like, oh, here they go.
Yeah.
Like it's literally that final line. But winning masks it, but they can't win.
Yeah,
so
but those are plays, I mean, that you should make, but there's so many other plays.
Right.
It's at the pinpoint. There's so many other third downs. There's so many. You know, you're right. Those are obvious ones that were maybe the most attainable. But there's so many where they've just consistently fallen short, and that's part
common
of it.
Common theme through five losses and through nine in a tie a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Let's quickly break out our Jolly Plumbing player of the week. Three candidates this week for the Jack of All Trades Jolly Plumbing Player of the Week. Andrew Billings.
Yeah.
Tyler Croft, Chris Smith are my three. I'm going to cast my vote for Andrew Billings because we talked last week about Andrew Billings needing to play a little bit more. Yeah. He hadn't played a whole lot. I don't think Andrew Billings wanted what happened on Sunday to happen.
Right.
Where in the heat in Jacksonville, Pat Sims gets hurt. In early in the first quarter, and Andrew Billings has to play 48 snaps.
Yeah, Andrew was
325-pound Andrew Billings, who hasn't hardly played all year. But he was out there grinding out. He was a part of the forced fumble early in the game that broke the streak that seemed like it would never end. The modern-day NFL record, 18 games without a fumble recovery, came to an end. So that's my vote, but, you know, Tyler Croft – like we said, he's really only.
Yeah, I want to click the button for a guy for two catches and all of the passing yards.
Yes.
I mean, the 58-yard catch and run, it was a really good catch and set up the only score of the game. And his 21-yard catch, really tough, breaking multiple tackles. And honestly, before that, I mean, it was setting up for the Bengals to go down and at least get within 13-10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it got him in a position to get in the Jacksonville side. So I got to go with Tyler Croft again.
Got that. So we'll see. You can go to vote, jollyplumbing.com, for the Jack of All Trades, player of the game. You could pick amongst those three. Just remember, Jolly Plumbing is the honest choice for your plumbing needs. All right, let's talk a little bit. I want to bring in the AJ Green sound.
Got the best of me. I got to learn to control my emotion better. As a player, you know, as a man, as a father, you know, as a reflection of me. should have just walked off in that whole situation. Got the best of me today, but definitely learned from the experience. Never gonna happen again. Said I regret, my actions. We just get better from here. Whatever my punishment are, I accept it. Because I put myself in that situation.
Was it building throughout the game? I mean, did he start talking pretty early?
Yeah, I understand we play football. Not the only person trash talking, but it starts getting out of hand. Disrespectful, but me as a man, I gotta control my emotions better. I gotta handle my stuff better. Can't put myself in a situation like that to hurt my team and not be able to play. So.
Was it kind of an accumulation of stuff, AJ, not just today, but maybe the last few weeks, frustration kind of building up?
No. I'm a week-to-week guy, man. I don't ever let, the pigger rig affect the way I am. I've been there. I need the ball. I need it, but we won. That doesn't matter. And that's all that matters is getting that W, man. I'm not getting frustrated because I'm not getting the ball. I'm an ultimate team player. Of course I want the ball every play, but that's not going to happen. So it has nothing to do with that.
Is there anything particular on that play that you can share that set it off?
Just like I said, it's halftime. We got like 13 seconds left. We're just running the clock out. You turn my back, you show me. That's not football, man. If I want to be a real a-hole, I could come cut you every play. I could come cut you right there, cut you in the knees, and then you would have got mad. But, it's halftime running out. I'm not going to take no cheap shot like that. So, as a man, that's disrespectful. I'm not going to tolerate disrespect like that. We can't fight on the field, but, he just got under my skin. I can't let that happen. I've been the ultimate pro all this long. I just can't let little things like that get to me. So.
Did something happen? Ever happen like that before, AJ, at any level to you?
Yeah, I had a couple incidents, but just took it to the next level. I shouldn't have reacted that way, man. I apologize to my teammate, Mr. Brown and everybody, because that's not who I am. Just got the best of me today.
Looking back on the call from the referee, do you think the appropriate altercation was given, the appropriate penalty for both players?
The ref, the ref came to me sideline, and like next time he put his hand to his face, he gonna call it. I let it fly, a couple plays, and it's football. Things get a little rough out there. I didn't mind that. But when you start just trying to take cheap shots when I'm not looking and stuff like that, man, that's when I gotta defend myself. And I'm not gonna back down for anybody. I have a son. I'm not gonna teach him that. Just to back down from anybody like that. It's a respect. I respect all my opponents that I go against. But when it gets to a level when I'm not looking to put myself in danger, then I'm gonna have to defend myself.
So it was more the shove than anything he said, then, right?
Yeah, he was talking the whole game, but that's not deal. But like I said, I can come up there with 13 seconds left and just chop you, and that'd be illegal, right? But I'm not trying to get anybody hurt.
He didn't say anything about your family or anything?
No, I don't know. He was talking the whole time. I was just blocking it out. I can handle that.
Do you expect to be suspended?
Like I said, man, I will accept anything that, come my way. Okay. I put myself in the situation.
You got hit pretty hard at the end of that whole skirmish. You also punched a helmet. Are you okay? Did you come away with any?
I'm fine. I'm perfectly fine.
Did you so that there was nothing that happened to precipitate all that? Had he shot you in the head a few times and given you a shot to the face mask a few times? Or?
All right. Like I said, man, it's just when I'm not looking, it's 13 seconds left.
That's what it was.
Just building up, man. He just talks a lot. But I play defense, a back that talks a lot, but we all have respect for each other. So.
Hey, did you know much about his willingness to get under receiver skins and to be like that coming into the game, or was that?
No, I didn't know. Like I said, I don't worry about what people do on the other side of the ball, but if you feel like you got to talk, then that's who he is. But you got to be able to back it up. So.
So, kudos for standing up. He didn't have to, but he should have.
Yeah.
Kudos for apologizing to your teammates and to the owner and saying all the right things. He did not apologize to Jalen Ramsey.
he was not about to apologize for what he did,
right,
as far as the actions. He was apologizing for what he did to his teammates and what have you. When you're the only guy that can get open, when you're as important to this team as AJ Green is, an apology doesn't cut it for me.
No.
That's the issue for me. If you're the leader, if you're the guy most respected, I mean, what are the young guys in the locker room thinking now? That this is okay? Well, it has been around here for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, that's,
it's actually kind of been more the normal than not. It's just the difference is who it came from.
Yeah, and look, I mean, Marvin had an opportunity to say he was disappointed in the best player on the team.
Chose
really,
not to.
Really hurting them Sunday and then obviously going forward. Because I don't see how he doesn't get at least one game suspension. And you could definitely make a case for multiple. I think he only serves one. But I mean, I could see it being, you know, two.
To an appeal.
I mean, you can't do it. You can't.
There are so many other ways to get back at Jalen Ramsey. And I don't have a problem with going up there and pushing him back.
Yeah.
In his face and calling over your lineman to come over and finish this dude off.
Right.
You cannot do that. There's no manhood card that says that's the right move.
No.
The right move is to beat the guy for a touchdown and get in his face after that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He already beat him once.
Yeah.
AJ Green's going to beat him again.
Yeah. It's just to see it come from this guy. Here's the thing, and let's jump into this. Because the immediate reaction to anything that happens is always, well, what we always get, fire Marvin, right?
Right.
Of course. And that's fine. That's Twitter, whatever. Yeah. But when stuff like this repeatedly happens, I mean, how – inevitably, everything that's happening right now is on the head coach.
Yeah.
Obviously. Huh? Do you connect AJ Green and Marvin Lewis's control of this team? Or do you not? I mean, this is the other part of your, the guys that roll out there as captains every game.
Yeah.
Almost every game. 55, 18.
Right.
Both been suspended in fights.
Yeah.
Whatever. You're again dealing with suspensions. You're again dealing with unruly players. Adam Jones was suspended. This is all the stuff from the playoff meltdown going forward. I mean,
right.
Inevitably, this connects back to Marvin, as it always does.
It's always a reflection of the head coach. I've been this guy for a while, where I don't excuse the head coach, but I minimize him in a lot of ways. This goes with the playoff game, big game, prime time. Hey, he's over there. Win a tilt.
Right.
Make a play. Don't fumble. Don't hit a guy in the head. Don't punch a guy in the head.
Yeah.
I mean, these are all grown men. And I don't care if, you know, like some guys are 20 years old. You're a professional. You're paid. You know right from wrong on the field and off the field. But you're right. There is a balance of having your guys back while also communicating the message that you can't do it.
Yeah.
And after the game, Marvin Lewis should have said, it's 13-7. The best player on the team can't do that.
He didn't. He said something set him off.
Yeah, that's not, you know, it's just, you know, because... And the thing with the stuff with Burfict, just Marvin has at least come around to say he should know better. He's kind of gotten into some of that a little bit with, you know, recognizing like 55 can't do some of the stuff he'd been doing. But AJ Green knows better. He's 30 years old.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And you come into this game, Jalen Ramsey was kicked out of a game last year for fighting.
Yeah.
A giant long-form story was written on ESPN.com about how this guy's specialty is getting under guys' skin.
Yes.
There's no way you don't know. We talk all the time about how much they study their opponents, how AJ Green is like always studying his guys. He knows what he's going up against. Yeah. Jalen Ramsey is like some people's defensive player of the year. You don't think he doesn't know what he's going up against?
Right.
You have to know going into this game, this is what this guy is going to try to do to you. I cannot lose my cool. And that's the shocking, element of it to me. And I don't know what else you can even say about it.
Yeah.
It's so shocking, and it has this team in a bad way because they've got to win the next two, and they're probably going to have to win in Tennessee without him, and I don't see how that happens. Let's talk about good food.
Yeah.
Can we?
We need some, Paul.
We need something that feels good, and Blue Apron feels good.
Blue Apron does feel good, especially coming back from a jaggy trip like that.
Yeah.
Flying. Paul, we were in a car at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Had to fly. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Blue Apron at my door.
Look at you.
I don't even got to go to the grocery store. You know why? It's the number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service in the country. Its mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs like me. Because I ain't got time.
You don't have time to deal with this.
So, upcoming meals.
All right, what do you got?
Sitting on my doorstep. Ready? Crispy wild Alaskan pollock and garlic mashed potatoes with roasted broccoli and tartar sauce.
Sounds good.
Sam Green couldn't get that seafood in Jacksonville.
No, you don't want that.
No. Cheesy broccoli baked pasta with crispy thyme breadcrumbs and seared steaks and garlic butter with oven fries and romaine salad. So, you get a variety. You can choose these. Now, those are featured. You can choose new recipes every week. Let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you will never get bored. So check out this week's menu at blueapron.com. $30 off your first order, Paul, with free shipping. blueapron.com/beat. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So do not wait. That's blueapron.com/beat. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Better way to cook. Good stuff. Okay, so we mentioned and touched on John Ross earlier.
Who?
And yeah, I don't know.
Who?
He's this guy they drafted 9 overall. He's fast, I guess.
Maybe.
Maybe he would have been able to run under that deep ball to Josh Malone. Maybe he could have used a guy who could get a couple extra steps. You know, it feels like if you're searching for answers, it feels like time to throw caution to the wind with John Ross and just see if that guy can maybe do something, give you a spark, anything.
Yeah.
I mean, at a certain point.
He's healthy. He hasn't been on the injury report in 2 weeks.
He is not even on the injury report. He's healthy. He's been doing full practices for a couple of weeks. He was even up running 6 snaps, whatever. Healthy scratch on Sunday. You know
who was a healthy scratch way back in week 2? Tyler Boyd.
Who? Right.
I mean, come on.
Healthy scratch when you have Seathan Carter up and Ryan Hewitt's healthy.
Yeah.
What does Seathan Carter do that Ryan Hewitt isn't doing?
Missed tackles on a 66-yard punt return touchdown.
Oh, you're right. That's true. Stuff like that.
And I don't know. Sorry, Seathan. I don't know if he missed a tackle, but whatever. That's the general point, though.
Yes. And, you know, I just – and if John Ross wasn't going to play, fine. I mean, maybe you're saying, well, that guy ain't going to play. I mean, I just
– this goes back to the very beginning. This has nothing to do with deep balls, people. This has nothing to do with 4-2 speed. This has to do with getting open in a step or two because that's all Andy Dalton has. And we've said this from the beginning. There's two guys who could do it, 85 and 18. One got hurt, which wasn't a surprise. The other one punched his way out of the game and out of another one. And when you're running two tight end sets, Brandon LaFell can say all he wants about he's ready to make plays and somebody else has got to make a play. Well, 11 is having a real hard time making plays the last 2 years. Because that's not his game. That's not his fault, though. I mean, he's not like – I mean, he is who he is 8 years in, nine years in.
You know what Brandon LaFell is.
Brandon LaFell needs time to get into a route and get off a linebacker. But Andy Dalton doesn't have that time.
No.
And when Andy Dalton's got to run to a sideline, someone else needs to separate. And Tyler, well, and Tyler Boyd's been hurt, but quit. Like, you know what I mean? So, you know, Marvin, I don't get it. Like, I get it, whatever. He's playing the hard line. You got to practice to play and all that other stuff.
And we don't see what these practices some things we have seen, though. John Ross has looked like a top 10 pick on some things that I've seen in recent little portions that are like one-on-ones open to us. Where you're like, whoa, maybe he is okay.
So this, all of Marvin saying, all of this says to me is reading between the lines. When Marvin says he has to practice a certain way, that either A means John Ross doesn't know the plays.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reading between the lines.
Or he is not 100%. But
the Bengals don't do that.
They will list guys that are hurt.
Yes.
They would list him as a full participant with the injury.
Right. They do that for Andy Dalton sometimes. Well, not this year, but in 15. Remember, Andy showed up on some weird Mondays. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
Because the Bengals don't mess with that.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, you know, I'm at a loss. I'm like Adam Jones. I don't know. I'm at a loss for words.
Well, let me give you something that put me at a loss for words. And this happened in the second half. It was a play like we've seen many times this year where both tackles whiff. Seto Bueh, he whiffs at left tackle. Andre Smith whiffs at right tackle. Two defensive ends, me at the quarterback, and Andy Dalton's dead. He's just laying there on the ground after getting crunched. Andre Smith is kind of like, his lookout block came a little further away, so he's not right next to Andy. Seto Bueh, he is basically standing over top of the three of them on the ground, Dalton writhing in pain, and the other two guys laying right there. Seto Bueh, he walks right by him, right by his quarterback that he just got killed, and walks to the sideline. Bruh.
Yeah.
Dude, at a certain point, if you are going to be bad and you're going to have screwed up, at least get there and help your dude up.
Right.
And act like you care. Don't just walk right by him. Almost, it basically could have stepped on his hand.
Right.
And not even.
What was the audio we heard earlier?
Passion.
Yeah.
I mean, he's either lost in his own brain and doesn't even know where he is out there, which if you look at some of his plays, it makes sense, or doesn't care about what just happened. I guess you give up enough sacks, it just feels normal. But to me, that type of stuff would enrage me as a coach.
Yeah.
At the very least, help your guy up.
Right.
I don't know. Am I blowing this out of proportion?
No, It stunned me, too, a little bit. And, you know, there is the segment of the fan base listening to this that will go right to the quarterback on this one because they just – if you watch this team for 2 years and that's where you go first, you know, you don't know how to watch football. There, I said it. But, no, it's a – I did. What? At me.
At me.
At me.
At me. I haven't slept. This is like
I'm in some
gym.
Kind of way.
This is like more than Jim.
But anyway, you're right, Paul. Like, and I don't know. It just doesn't look good. Look, optics matter. This goes back to the whole fire passion thing and the laugh on the sideline. Like, optics matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, oh, it's a bad look.
It's a bad look.
He might not know where he is out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when your head's spinning, I mean, it shouldn't be for a third-year player starting left tackle, first-round draft pick. But it could be.
It could be. I don't know. I had to get that off my chest. That one would enrage me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just you already are under fire for not being good enough. You know what I mean? So if you're the Cincinnati Bengals and you are hiring a left or right tackle, you need to know that where you can post your job to find the best candidates, and that is ZipRecruiter.
It is.
It is. It's hard to get good people, as you can see out there.
Yeah.
And if you need them, you've got to have ZipRecruiter because you can just post, and all the best candidates will be right there. It makes everything easier.
Because it's the smarter tools, Paul, because it makes it more streamlined. It's less time-consuming, so even when you're busy, Like, they got to be busy. You could still be smart about the way you hire. You know that quality hires keep your business moving forward, but you also know it can take a lot of time to find the right candidate for the job.
80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within 1 day. That is huge. Anyway, find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. So right now, our listeners can post your jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. It's free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/beat, B-E-A-T, beat, as in Bengals Beat Podcast. So it's ZipRecruiter.com/beat. One more time. Try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/beat. Okay. It is time for power rankings. So we're off the path a little bit.
Yeah.
We will get back to our list of like 25 different topics that we have. Thank you to everyone that continues to send us pictures of how you're drying your hands in questionable ways. A new one was pointed out to us by our friend Reds beat writer C. Trent Rosecrans, who sent us someone just laid a toilet paper roll in a basket. Toilet paper.
Yeah, that was.
You need that 2-ply.
Yeah.
But toilet paper roll in a basket.
Yeah.
Next to the sink.
I could.
Come on now. Come on now. So anyway, thank you everybody that keeps sending this. Keep sending those to us on Twitter. We love getting those. But so today though, we're gonna do before the season. Before the season, because it started with like I said on Twitter, if you lined up all 53 Bengals, AJ might be 53 on my list of people that I thought would get in a fight and get kicked out. To which somebody said, oh, that means you don't know your team. To which I said, that means you're blocked.
Yeah.
However, they caught me in a bad moment. I was like in a rush trying to get that whole thing posted. I was under a lot of pressure. And the first thing I saw and looked up was that. And I just, all right, it's time to block. all right, so. Top three, which I think there's some obvious answers in here. Top three Bengals before the year, all 53 are lined up in front of you. Top three that you would think would get kicked out of a game for fighting. Number one, Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah, I got to go with.
I mean, it has to
Vontaze,
be.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Number fiery two, and passionate.
Yeah, he's very fiery, very passionate. Number two for you.
Well, it's a guy we heard from.
Adam Jones. Yes. Number
also,
two for me as well, yes.
Yes, fiery and passionate.
Fiery, passionate.
Yes, he will protect a teammate, and he won't take any lip.
No lip. He will rip a helmet off.
And hit your head against it.
And hit your head against it. In your first game as a pro.
That's a real thing that happened.
A real thing that happened, and he didn't get suspended.
No, he did not.
So maybe that's what AJ should point to. Be like, I mean, come on, I left his helmet on.
Right.
That's something.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, Raj, I got Adam on three-way call here, too. He would like to point out that I did not rip his helmet off. Anyway, who's your three?
You know, this was a really good discussion in the car home to the hotel and the post-ever Bankfield drinks and stuff. And I had to marinate on this a little bit.
Yeah.
And I moved him up just because I think Clark Harris is down for anything.
It's just because he lives in your gangster hood that you live in.
I think in the scenario that it would take where like Clark's on the field, because I think Clark's smart. He's not going to run off the field. Like,
no.
You know, he knows the rules. But we're talking about like the scenario of it happening. So kick special teams. I think Clark's
Clark sees like an unnecessary hit on Hubes, his boy.
Yeah.
And
I know people might go back to years ago and some other stuff and say, where was it then? But you know, it's a different time, different age.
Yeah. You know, I have three names listed here for number three that I'm deciding between. I haven't even figured out which one. I'm going to talk myself through it here on the podcast. I've got Fedge, and I got Russell Bodine, and I have Sean Williams.
Those are good ones.
Fiery passion-y is Clayton Fedgem. He's always in the middle of some stuff.
Yeah.
He's always in somebody's face. He's like really good friends with Adam.
Yeah.
So that immediately, like by association, you know, you could see Adam starting something and Fedge jumping in and getting involved and throwing or something. Russ is always doing some pushing and shoving yeah. afterwards. He's a pretty confrontational, not afraid to be a confrontational right. guy. Salty,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah, when he gets up.
And if something would happen, and that's, those guys are also, offensive linemen are more likely because if something happens to the quarterback,
right.
they're the ones that jump in unless it's set up way he just stands right. there and watches. So I think offensive linemen are always up in there. Sean Williams is always in someone's face.
Yes.
And he's always causing something.
He's yapping on the sidelines too, at opposing sidelines. He likes making tackles over there.
He likes making tackles near the opposing sidelines and telling the opposing sideline what he did.
Yes.
And seeing if he can cause them to come off the sideline right. toward him. I think I just talked myself into it. I think I'm going to say Russell Bodine because I think it has to be an offensive lineman because the likelihood of a unnecessary hit on a quarterback setting one off.
Yeah,
is there.
Likelihood trumps. See, I still think, you know, I'm a 46.
4-6.
But likelihood, I mean, he's only on the field a few times. So I can yeah. see. That's okay, number three.
That's fine. Okay, so bottom three.
Yeah.
Bottom three. Who is, we'll count it. We'll count,
count
it,
it down. 3-1.
Yeah, 3-1 on the bottom three. So 51, 52, and 53. So give me 51.
Andy Dalton.
You did Dalton. You see some fire, but for the same reasons that we just talked
right.
about, that offensive linemen almost always, except for Cedric Oboye, he step in
right.
and will fight on right. your behalf. You don't need to get
right.
in there. But he also is in situations with late hits and things where he could, but he never is in it. He's just,
no.
it's not the type. I hear you. I have AJ as my...
Yeah,
as my 51. I still to this day can't believe
right
for the reasons that we said. I always viewed him as smarter than that to
right.
understand his value, and that he just can't. He
was,
can't be
he
the guy.
He was hitting a hard surface with his hands.
He was out there throwing bows. How lucky are they? He didn't break his hand throwing a punch at a helmet.
Yeah.
Okay, 52.
You know, there a lot of guys in there like their money. And there's two dudes on that D-line that like their money.
They like their money.
So that's where I'm going. I'll go with Pat Sims.
I have Pat 52. Sims second as well. Because this was, I wish we could have played back the conversation from last night that got us to this point. Where we realized how Pat Sims would totally not fight anybody. Because he just wants to make sure he doesn't lose any of those paychecks.
Yeah.
Like you, if you listened to the BBP last year, one of our favorite interviews was you with Pat Sims on Locker Cleanout Day. You going to be back? I mean, I got to work. He's just a man trying to make a living.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to give that cash up.
No.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. Okay, so that's my 52. 53. So your 53 is?
Gino!
Because
here's the thing. Gino makes more money than Pat.
He does.
And Gino likes. Gino called a radio station trying to get free Bengals tickets.
The man who plays for the Bengals and makes $55 million was called and doesn't talk to media, called into a radio station to try to get free tickets for his friends. Gino, you can get those, man. On StubHub.
So Gino's not fighting anybody.
No, he loses too much money if he fights.
Yes.
I feel you on that. I'm going to say Vinny Ray.
Yeah.
He is all-time nice guy.
He is.
Fiery competitor, but not yeah. a, like, he's a, you know, we compete against each other. We're not out here fighting.
Yeah.
Like, just genuine heart and soul that I don't think could do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's just too good of a
yeah.
dude. That's my opinion. So I have him, but. Gino's a good. That's a good. That's, I mean, all time greatest is calling into the radio station for free tickets. Gino, you play for the Bengals. You can get whatever tickets you want, or you could buy them with your $55 million salary. Okay. All right. let's get close to wrapping this thing up. Why are you mad? And,
yeah.
Well, considering we've been up since 3 o'clock in the morning and done multiple methods of travel, I assume there's some reasons that you're mad.
No, honestly, I'll keep it short and sweet because I saw it on a menu. First of all, if you're a restaurant, don't have an 80-page menu.
Oh.
Because as soon as you sit down, like, I don't know all the places that I go to eat. That's the place that was there. So we went. And it was like, foomp. I'm like, what is this?
I don't want to have to read
and it was like,
a chapter.
I'm like, yeah. You know, is this the Iliad? No. It's the menu. You know what that screams to me? None of this is good.
My chicken parmesan sandwich.
No, it wasn't good. It wasn't.
You didn't have that.
It doesn't matter. It wasn't good.
I like
it. It was on page 27.
Page 27 is where all the good stuff was.
That makes me mad. Going to a restaurant and then giving me...
Menus should be one page.
A novel.
Or a front and back.
Yeah.
I'll give you a front and back. Don't give me... Yes. Don't. Yeah. I don't want chapters.
Don't put truffle oil on stuff.
I'm sorry. I don't know why that would crack me up so much. Why you hate truffle oil much?
Because when you're trying to fill out, you know,
right,
the last four books of Harry Potter, you gotta start you're truffling and oiling.
I'm sorry. I can't even hold it together. Okay, don't put truffle oil on stuff.
Nah.
Okay, I can't live up to that. You know, I'm going down the same path I always go down. You know what made me happy?
What's that?
Butternut squash. You know why butternut squash made me happy?
It's orange.
It's orange. My daughter loves this stuff.
There you go.
Loves, hates carrots. We found out that the carrot baby food did not get a good reaction. Truly negative. But to watch the true joy she gets from eating some butternut squash, it'll change your day around, boy. So despite coming home after 3 in the morning, leaving the hotel, long day of travel, get home, time to eat, butternut squash, smiles, and just hammering that stuff will absolutely make your day so much better. So I'm happy. Thank you, Gerber Butternut Squash, for helping me get over travel woes. No longer woes. Yeah. So I'm happy about that. All right, so let's wrap it up. We will, of course, have the Deuce later in the week where we will catch up with Optimistic Bobby, who I assume is just in denial somewhere, probably having more than a few coast-to-coast. We'll talk to him. Hopefully their big event they had this past weekend was the Bruin Q.
Yeah.
So good for them on that. I'm sure it was a great event. We are going to be going out doing a live BBP. At 50 West, at the end of this month, the Thursday night of the Steelers Monday night game, that's the 30th, live BBP at 50 West Brewing Company in their production works. Optimistic Bobby, live segment.
Yeah.
We'll be talking all about situation with the Bengals heading into their Monday nighter against the Steelers. Going to be awesome. Want you guys to come out. It's going to be a ton of fun. We'll have more information on that as it gets closer, but mark it down. Save the date, Thursday the 30th, before the Monday night football game against the Steelers. Live BBP, me, Jim, Optimistic Bobby, talking all things Bengals, beers, food, all that good stuff at 50 West Brewing Company. Super excited about this event. Going to be awesome. So anyway, mark it down. Save the date on the calendar. BTS. This Tuesday, Holy Grail. Chris Smith will be our guest, who had a forced fumble in his return to Jacksonville. Chris Smith, huge personality. Love talking to him. So should be a lot of fun down at Holy Grail Banks. Come join us again. Again, you hang out with us and drink beer. Like, you don't even need us there. Just hang out, drink beer, talk football. It's great. Meet Chris Smith. And, of course, follow Cincinnati.com for all news. We'll be updating on A.J. Green, possible punishment, and a number of other storylines as the Bengals move forward this week. So, anyway, we will talk to you later. Hope everybody had a good one. And, yeah, adios.